Heavenly Father, I'm not worthy to have your son into my home, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And may the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Today is Ascension Sunday. But what does this mean? What does this mean for us today? In short, it means that Jesus has been placed in charge of all things. For in us individually, it means that to follow Jesus is day by day to align our lives with his teaching. And one of the main things for Matthew is that we go and tell others about Jesus and Jesus' teaching. But first, to reflect on what the ascension means, we might, as a way of illustration, think about how government is formed in Canada today. So a person hoping to be prime minister first goes through a number of steps. There's the political campaign, the announcement that they are hoping to run for office. They tour the country. They explain the laws and the changes that they hope to bring about. Then, election day arrives. And if they are victorious, the position is theirs. But there's still that one more step. After a few weeks after their victory, anyone who is elected must head to Ottawa to be sworn into office. The government of Canada holds power from Ottawa. They act and live out of Ottawa. For 1,000 years, the Jewish prophets had been imagining an era of global peace and prosperity that would be brought about by a Jewish leader. When Jesus finally came, he spent years traveling across the countryside, explaining the laws that belonged to his kingdom, explaining the changes that he hoped to bring about. When the time came to make a choice, when it was election day, as it were, the majority of the people rejected Jesus. He was crucified, having made enemies on all sides. All sides except one. God cast the deciding vote, as it were. God saw Jesus not just as a great leader, but as the future for humanity and creation. And so God raised Jesus from the dead, confirming everything that Jesus had said about himself. And then, a few weeks after his victory over sin and death and the devil, Jesus was traveled to be sworn in as the leader, not just of Israel, not just of earth, but of all things that have been created. Jesus traveled into heaven, still fully human at this point, still fully human now, for that matter. Jesus traveled into God's presence, and God the Father swore Jesus into the highest position of authority in all of heaven and on earth. That is what we are celebrating today on Ascension Day. To me, that sounds crazy. Maybe it does to you as well. It did to the people in the first century as well. It is not that because of our education, it sounds far-fetched. In the first century, it was just as outlandish. The Athenians laughed at Paul when he told them this news. The Roman governor who listened to Paul tell his testimony said that Paul had gone out of his mind. Peter wrote in one of his letters, "We're not following cleverly devised myths. We have made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty." And another of the disciples, John, wrote, "What I am writing you is what we have heard It's what we have seen with our own eyes. It's what we've looked at and touched with our own hands. Just like all the other Gospels, the Gospel according to Matthew concludes by closely connecting the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. The Gospels connect the cross and the empty tomb with the heavenly throne. But if Jesus has been sworn into this position, then where is Jesus' authority recognized? Not on earth, seemingly, you might be thinking. If at any point in the last however many years you've had your TV on. But here on earth, when a government makes a big change that's going to affect how everybody lives, they often give a period of grace, a period of amnesty. So I remember when distracted driving laws were coming into effect. The consequences of driving distracted are well known. It's dangerous, it causes fatalities. One of the stories out of Toronto was if you've ever commuted in Toronto at the work hour, what can normally take half an hour if there was no traffic can take 2-3 hours of sitting, inching along in a row of cars 16 lanes long. It's very tedious. Well, the police officer stopped one fellow who coped with the monotony by having his newspaper open on his lap, coffee in one hand, and a cell phone in the other. The police gently reminded him of the new laws that were coming into effect, warned that the next time there would be significant consequences for just one of those things in his hand, much less all three. God is giving humanity a grace period, a period of amnesty in which humanity can adapt and accept that Jesus is the highest authority. Yes, it's been a 2,000-year amnesty period, and too long, it seems to me, at times. Peter wrote, even in the first century, they were felt how long it was taking. And Peter wrote, God is not slow in fulfilling promises, but rather God is patient, not wanting anyone to be lost. If we say that Jesus Christ is indeed in charge of all things, do we not see how this simply cannot be a private matter? That it can't just be that I will do my best quietly to do the things that God has asked me to do, but that we have a responsibility to invite others to know Jesus, to invite others to recognize his authority, to invite others to be discipled and baptized. In the Matthew passage that Debbie read for us, from the verses 18 to 20, there's a lovely symmetry and poetry to Jesus' words that is somewhat lost in the English. There are four alls in Greek and alliteration that's lost in English. All authority, all nations, all my laws, all times. Or to fill it out a bit more, if you believe that all authority has been given to me, you will go to all nations. You will disciple and baptize. You will teach all my commands, and I will be with you all times. When Jesus appeared, some of the disciples drew near to him with openness and love, and they held on to him. But some of them hesitated. They had conflicting thoughts. What might have been conflicting them? We can only imagine. We can build it from the other Gospels, perhaps. The last time they had seen Jesus, they had allowed him to be arrested and taken away to be killed without interfering. They had denied knowing him and gone and hid. Is it possible that they felt that they had let Jesus down? Is it possible that the conflicting feelings were shame and fear? Or perhaps as they looked, it was the skepticism of Thomas. I mean, this just isn't possible. You were dead. We watched you die. We buried you. And here you are. That just doesn't happen. Or was it plain old human reluctance? If you are really Lord, what is that going to mean for how I live my life? Is it going to be like the wedding guests, invited by the king to join in the celebration, who suddenly think of what they might end up losing if they follow? Are any of these thoughts and feelings yours? Do we need to resolve them before drawing close to Jesus? Or could we just draw near and bring our shame, our fear, our questions and doubts, our reluctance? Do we remember how Jesus treated Thomas? By receiving the questions and helping him find the answer. Do we remember how the wedding guests were invited and welcomed in? Do we remember how he treated Peter? By affirming the love that they shared for each other, and by commissioning Peter again. Matthew doesn't tell us who hesitated or how many or why. But after you read all of Matthew, you arrive at this point and you can't help but ask yourself at the conclusion of the gospel, what would I do if I was face to face with Jesus as they were? But Matthew doesn't pause to give us time to reflect, but presses on with Jesus' call on us. And maybe that's because both the responses of drawing near to Jesus and of hesitating are to be expected within us and within the church. The group that's confronting Jesus is not a mixed crowd. It is the 11 disciples. It's as if Matthew and Jesus are pointing out that the church will always be this mix of hesitating, of shame, of doubts, of reluctance, and of drawing near to God, of drawing near to Jesus in love and intimacy. It's as if the way it rushes on, that Jesus is saying, we can't wait for you to get your act completely sorted out. Just come along. Jump in. You have a calling. Go out and make disciples. And in fact, in that symmetry that of Jesus' words and that poetry, maybe it is only as we take steps to teach someone else what we have learned, how little it is. It's only as we take steps to teach others about following Jesus that we are able ourselves to draw closer to him. Jesus has been given all authority. He's not going to use that strictly in heaven. Jesus is returning one day. The grace period will come to an end. Jesus, by grace, has revealed to us here how to live. He has revealed to us his teachings, has filled us with his Holy Spirit. Will we draw close to Jesus? Or will we hold back? Will we allow Jesus to rule over this church? Will we be known as the church that goes out and disciples and baptizes. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways that you have opened our eyes, for whatever steps that we have taken in our own lives to follow Jesus Christ. We remember all the things that you have saved us from and all the blessings that have come to us through Jesus. And you know what is inside our hearts now, the things that might cause us to hesitate. Have mercy and help us to draw near to you. And more than that, Father, we ask that in your mercy you might provide us with a chance this week to have a meaningful conversation with someone about what it means to call your Son our Lord. We pray that in doing that, we would have a sense of your presence, as you have promised, as your Son has promised, to be with us every day. In his name we pray. Amen.